Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Boulder, Colorado is Teresa Troster-Falk. Teresa is Chief Global Privacy Strategist for Nymity. Teresa, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you, Adam. I'm very happy to be here.
So the subject of our conversation is going to be the new California Consumer Privacy Act, better known as CCPA. Well, there's a lot of attention that's been paid over the last few years to GDPR, the European General Data Protection Regulation. It's important to realize that that's not the limits of where data privacy requirements are. In fact, that there's domestic considerations here in the U.S. as well. So, Teresa, I was hoping first you could give us an overview of the CCPA, when it goes into effect, who it affects, and its key provisions.
Sure. So let me just take that up one level to make some general comments. And, you know, you mentioned the GDPR, and, you know, it amazes me how many non-privacy, non-legal folks are familiar with the term GDPR. And that's because of the huge implications for non-compliance, especially when the penalties. And the GDPR certainly got the attention of the C-suite, and more corporate boards are looking at privacy compliance with privacy laws as a corporate liability issue. So thinking about the California law, the overview of it, it has been called groundbreaking and watershed and unprecedented. And when I think about that, is it all that? And I would say from my experience that yes, it is. In short, it is. And why is that? So it's extremely broad in scope. Let's look at when it goes into effect. January 1st next year is the date that you want to be thinking about. July 1st is when enforcement begins. But who does it affect? It applies to any business that is essentially processing the data of California residents. It covers B2B and B2C. And if you fall into one of these three categories, if your business's gross annual revenues in excess of $25 million, if your business, if you sell or share for commercial purposes, the personal information of 50,000 or more California residents, or if 50% of your business, the revenues are derived from selling consumers' personal information. So it's going to hit a lot of businesses and outside of California, right? When I was practicing in-house, we used to say, it's a California law, but it's de facto a national law, right? Because every business has business in California. It's the fifth largest economy in the world, and you certainly are processing information of California consumers. So that's the who it affects. Now let's think of, look at key provisions. So the core of the obligations under the law deal with new consumer rights. And these rights, for the most part, are foundational rights that we see in most privacy and data protection laws around the world. The right to access my information, to make a request of the business to say, what information do you have about me? The right to delete it, and there's some exceptions around that. There's notice requirements. I need to be provided notice about the information that you're collecting about me and who you're sharing it with. But there's one substantial right that is really different, and it's the one that is causing a lot of consternation. That is this right to not have my data sold to third parties. And we'll probably get into this a little bit more, but that's the big difference with this law versus other privacy and data protection laws around the world that we're more familiar with.
Well, so given that, you know, there's at least one key difference, you know, if I'm a business person, a compliance professional who's ramped up for GDPR and, you know, feeling like I'm in pretty good shape for handling that issue or that piece of legislation, is there, am I covered for this with that one exception that you talked about there, or is there additional thinking that they should be thinking to make sure that they're, and work they should be doing to make sure they're CCPA ready?
Yeah, a lot of companies are asking that. They're really looking to rightly leverage all the work they did for GDPR for California. And I would say you'll be in very good stead. You will have a great, more than a great start. You'll be a long ways there. But there are some differences. So I think the first thing to note is that if you were a company that was subject to GDPR, GDPR was massive in terms of what it required in terms of compliance obligations. It was an accountability-based law. Beyond these consumer rights, there were dozens of other specific measures that needed to be put in place as a compliance obligation. We don't see that with the CCPA. So you will have many. You will have done much more for your privacy program. You'll be in great stead. But where the differences are, let's look at some of these specific rights around access, for instance. That's pretty much the same. If you have processes and procedures in place, manual or automated, for consumers to request access of their information, you'll probably have the right mechanisms in place to address California requests. Deletion, there's a small difference here. So for the most part, it's the same. And there are similar kinds of exemptions. But the one difference under California law is when a request is made to delete data, if it doesn't fall into the exemptions, you, the business, must also pass on that deletion request to downstream third parties. And that was not a requirement under the GDPR. So that's one area businesses need to be thinking about, and they're starting to track, their vendors to make sure that they can fulfill that deletion request. And of course, that big difference then that you mentioned, the right to opt out of data sharing, that requires a very specific link on your homepage and your privacy notice page that says, do not sell my data. And that certainly was not a requirement under the GDPR.
Yeah, that'll be definitely a huge difference because it sort of fundamentally changes the way business does things in a lot of times with it when it comes to using data.
Well, if I would just further comment on that, if you don't mind, that's exactly right. That when, at Numity, we do a lot of mapping of laws to privacy management program framework. And I've often argued that the specific privacy management compliance obligations under the California law are not actually so many and not so onerous, but the business implications are huge, right? So I think that's what you're getting at. That if I sell data, and if I need to honor those requests to not sell data, that has huge business implications. So companies are really struggling. Those that fall within the definition of sell, and it's a very broad definition, a lot of businesses will say, well, I don't sell data to third parties. I don't have to worry about it. But the definition is so broad that even if you think you're not selling data, you very well may be, and you're right. That has huge business impact.
So, are there other areas that are going to be great challenges for business? And as we're talking about this, what's the best way to start getting a handle on them quickly?
I think the other area is scoping. So for companies that did the GDPR exercise, and they were looking at, okay, let's just figure out what data do I have on European residents. Sometimes they did their scoping activities to be very specific, to Europe. Others took the opportunity to say, I just need to scope. I need to just map all my data and sort of figure out where it all is. So their exercise was broader, and they may already have scoped California data. So just, scoping, deciding how much you're going to scope in this exercise. Am I going to contain it to California residents? Am I going to do, there's many state bills pending. Should I do all of my data? That will be one area that needs to be figured out and a good place to start. But really the issue or the area that I think companies really should be focusing on, because this is the law. It's the consumer rights. Do I have in place policies and procedures or mechanisms to fulfill those requests when they start coming in? And for U.S. companies that are not used to this, I can say that those requests can take a lot of time. One or two or three or four requests can take a lot of time. If you start multiplying that, and if we look at the GDPR as an example, there was sort of a deluge of requests following the enactment of the GDPR. It's leveled off, but Manual processes do not scale well when there's volume and complexity. So we are certainly seeing a lot of companies looking to automated solutions for fulfilling those consumer requests, just so that they can scale quickly if the volume increases.
So you mentioned in that last response the fact that California is not alone. I mean, California's got the law in the books, but there's a heck of a lot of other states there that are considering their own legislation, given that there is no federal privacy law in the U.S. Can you give an overview of what else is going on at the state level that people should be paying attention to?
Yes. So this is something that we track not only every day, but many times a day, because there seems to be changes many times a day. Currently, at a high level, we have obviously California that comes into effect January 1st next year. Nevada has a law that comes into effect in October of this year. Maine passed a law that comes into effect January next year, I think. But it's specific to internet service providers. In addition, there are 11 other states that have pending bills. And if I look back to our maps and our charts from April, there were 17 states. So we lost a bunch over the last couple of months, Hawaii and Illinois, and Louisiana and Puerto Rico and Rhode Island. But we remain with Connecticut, which is a very similar law to California, but there's no private right of action with it. Maryland's bill is also very similar. Minors are defined differently. The one that has a lot of companies are concerned with is New Jersey. So New Jersey's bill also focuses on do not sell. So that one has the attention of a lot of businesses. And then we have New York, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, Vermont, Washington. It's almost all but dead, but may be discussed again next year. But that had the attention of a lot of companies because it was the most similar to GDPR in terms of a broader accountability-based law. It had the support of Microsoft. And it makes sense for companies like Microsoft, the global companies that went through the effort of complying with GDPR. It's just so much more efficient, right, to have one way of doing business and complying than so many other ways. But that's kind of what's happening at the state level. We've got California, Nevada, and Maine on the books, and 11 other state laws pending and changing almost every day. And there's lots of action at the federal level. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like it's definitely an issue that's got to be dealt with now, but it's also an issue that everyone's going to anticipate is going to continue to change and evolve for many years to come. Well, Teresa, thank you so much for sharing this insight with us. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.